Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly roundup of all our favourite events that are happening in and around Oxford. Last week everyone shied away from using the word Christmas and festive, but I'm back now, and from now on until the end of the year, all we've got is Christmas and joy and cheer. Oh, so be brilliant. Prepared, guys, be prepared.
This week I'll be talking about startups and sweets and not too much Christmas.
It's actually National Short Story Week, so I've got a range of brief bookish events.
And I'm talking about geese, gigs and a mockumentary, starting with geese, if you want to come for a gander with me. Mm. Yes, yes, thank you very much. So Mother Goose has opened at the Theatre Chipping Norton. It is panto season and they've opened the first, and then plenty more will come. We'll probably be doing a Christmas show each week in the Oxcast. I went along last night to see Mother Goose at the Theatre Chipping Norton. And they've gone for a sort of Nordic-style setting. I thought it could have been possibly influenced by the sort of Frozen extravaganza, that kind of Scandinavian feel. And one of the songs had like a little bit that did sound slightly
Let
like
one go.
Of the Let It Go songs. Yeah, slightly. Not enough, but a little bit. But they've got really beautiful lighting design. So they've got these rings around the stage that look a bit like the Northern Lights, and they're very luminescent and glowing, and they're beautiful. There's also lots of woolly jumpers, and there's a very nice icy magic mountain. So the design's really fun. And Mother Goose is a story of Mother Goose and her golden egg-laying bird. This story has been framed by a good fairy and a troll who really hates humans, and they kind of come on and stop the story and change the fates of the characters. And there's some really fun characters. So the trolls are kind of the big baddie, but the sort of smaller baddie is Baron von Rumpenschmacker, who's this really lascivious man who's really funny. And normally in panto, the dame picks on a man in the audience, but in this case, von Rumpenschmacker picked on a woman in the audience, and so she became sort of a running joke. So that was kind of nice to see that inverted. And there's also some romance in the show and some really good adventure. One of my favourite scenes in Mother Goose, they go travelling in a hot air balloon. And that's quite hard to do, especially the Chipping Norton Theatre is quite small. So the characters had sort of puppets, so they had a little model box of the hot air balloon with the characters in it. And Mother Goose was swinging that over the stalls full of brownies. And then the other characters and the Pippins, who are their young performers, were doing the sort of soundscapes. We were all getting to make thunder by stamping our feet and make wind noises, and then the throwing snow down. So it was really like fun and immersive, and a really good way to do that scene that's quite hard to actually make really work if you just keep everyone on stage and you're just watching them not fly, because sometimes it's hard to make that happen. So it's really good fun, some nice music, not too dirty, it's not a smutty panto, it's very wholesome. And Mother Goose is at the Theatre Chipping Norton until January, pretty much every day, several shows a day, because that's what panto's about.
Now, the Oxford Playhouse this week, Regeneration, is on. This is another World War One drama. There's kind of one every week this year, but this one, I think, is a particularly good pick. It's the story of Craig Lockhart, which is a Scottish psychiatric hospital during the First World War, and it was home to Siegfried Sassoon after he was institutionalised. So after convalescent leave, Sassoon wrote a letter to his military commanding officer, and he sort of forwarded it to the press and to members of Parliament as well, and it was then eventually read in the House of Commons. And it stated, "I am making the statement as an act of willful defiance of military authority. I believe that the war upon which I entered as a war of defence and liberation has now become a war of aggression and conquest." And basically, this was like a really bad sort of treasonous thing to say. And as a PR spin, so that they wouldn't have to court-martial him, they institutionalised him and said he had shell shock. So he was sent to this psychiatric hospital in Scotland, where he met Wilfred Owen and encountered a doctor called Dr. Rivers. And Dr. Rivers' sole task at this hospital was to rehabilitate soldiers so that they could be returned to the trenches. And over the course of this play, you kind of see the development of a friendship between Sassoon and Rivers, and see the doctor as he begins to question the morality of what he's aiming for with only getting these people better so that they can go back and either kill or die. But you also see the development of the friendship between Sassoon and Wilfred Owen, and you see how Sassoon helps Owen rework Anthem for Doomed Youth, Wilfred Owen's famous ode to the doomed youth of Britain and sort of every country that's sending their young off to die. But it seems like a really powerful play. It's adapted from a novel trilogy.
And when were the novels written?
They were published in the early 90s, written by Pat Barker. But we actually sent along our reviewer last night, Chloe Jeffries, who said of the play, "The audience were united in horror, respect and admiration," which is a pretty high praise, I think. And it sounds like a really interesting, powerful, moving production. It's on at the Oxford Playhouse this week until Saturday, 7:30 every night.
onto some music. And Spring Offensive are a local five-piece band who've been gigging and recording since about 2009. And they've made quite a big name for themselves in Oxford and further afield. They've toured the country and toured Europe. And they're playing their last ever gig in Oxford this Thursday. It's going to be at the O2 Academy. Costs £8 and doors open from 7pm. So the bands have been favourites of the local BBC Introducing in Oxford radio show and the fantastic Night Shift magazine pretty much since their inception. They are described as having quite clever and complex music, but that's still quite accessible. I think it's kind of like quite languorous rock. It's kind of medium, slow tempos. It's not heavy, but then it kind of really gets you into the rhythm and gets you going. You really listen to their music.
What's happened? Why are they splitting up?
I think they all just want to go and do other things. I guess they've been working now for 5 years, and maybe you just get to a point where if you haven't sort of totally taken off, it's just kind of the same thing. But they released an album this year as well, which has done really well. It's called Young Animal Hearts. So if you can't go along to see their last gig, you can still listen to their music and buy their album. And they're being supported by Salvation Bill, who's another local act, and also Willie J. Healy, who makes rock and stroll music, which I haven't heard before and sounds really good. Mm. And there's also an after show at the library. So Spring Offensive and some other musicians are going to be doing DJ sets at the pub pretty much next door to the O2 after the gig. And so go along, support, say goodbye, really, to Spring Offensive, Thursday, 7 o'clock at the O2 Academy.
It's going to be emotional.
There will be loads of tears. It'll be really sad. The farewell. Encore will probably go on for ages. I'll play the album in the encore.
Yep.
Don't go.
Meanwhile, on Friday, we've got a really exciting new event at Story Museum. It's called Soup and a Story, and it pretty much does what it says on the tin. So between 12:30 and 1pm on Fridays, you can turn up to hear a short story and get some soup. Tickets are £7, including the cost of soup. And what's quite interesting is that it's a mixture of sort of modern and classical short stories, but they don't tell you what the story's going to be in advance.
So you can't order your soup and order your story.
No, you don't know what the flavour or the story will be. So yeah, if you want to turn up for Lucky Dip Soup and Story, that's 12:30 on Friday.
So Christmas Light Festival, which used to be Christmas Light Night, is back this year. It's a major event that kicks off the Christmas season, hence why this week we are embracing Christmas. Previously, this event has, on the Friday night, had a lantern parade, which has gone through town and on St Giles, but that's not happening this year. But there is so much other stuff happening. It's kind of a shame that that's not happening, but I think they've really compensated really well with a whole array of other really exciting and unusual things happening across Friday, Saturday and Sunday as part of the Christmas Light Festival.
And it's not all just in the centre of town this year either.
It's not. So one of the events I'm talking about is actually over in East Oxford. It's the Street Light Festival. So it's kind of under the Christmas Festival is this Street Light Festival, which is being put on by the Magdalen Road Art Studios and Pegasus Theatre. So it's going to be a mini pop-up festival taking over the whole of Magdalen Road. So lots of the venues and obviously these arts organisations are getting involved. And some of the music they've got lined up includes beatboxing, there's poetry, there's going to be jazz. Pegasus obviously is a great community theatre with lots of youth theatre, so there's going to be some young people playing music as well. And there's going to be lots of family fun. It's just going to have a really good buzz, and it's a really good excuse to go, you know, lunch Ollie's Thai, maybe brunch at Oxfork, a drink at the Rusty or the Magdalen Arms. It's just a nice excuse to maybe go to Magdalen Road and see what's happening on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. That's when they are having this little party. And also there's lots of other things happening in museums.
Yeah, at the Pitt Rivers Museum, they're having a special Northern Lights night where you can go along. It'll be completely dark and you'll have a torch to explore the museum with. They'll have a special Arctic soundtrack, and they've actually got a voiceover recorded by Philip Pullman to talk you through the exhibits.
He gets around Oxford, doesn't
he? Wow.
It runs between 7 and 10pm, so it is quite late, so there will actually be an open bar as well. Sorry,
the risk assessment of this must have been
open
awful.
Bar, okay, right.
Bar, darkness, Philip Pullman distracting everyone.
Yeah, so it's going to be dark.
Tread carefully.
It's going to be dark, there'll be drinks, and you can get up close and personal with the Arctic specimens.
Cool. Well, the main hub for the festival is going to be in Gloucester Green, and one of the events that's going to be happening there is the Knowledge Emporium. And this is a sweet shop with a difference. So basically, instead of accepting money, you make a transaction in knowledge. You have to give them a fact, and they give you sweets in return. And then at the end of the Light Festival, theatre company Slung Low are going to be making a production out of all the bits of information that people have told them. But a couple of little facts that if you can't think of your own, you might be able to tell them instead. 3-year-olds can't lie. There are 206 bones in the human body. And the Spanish version of the Tooth Fairy is a mouse called Raton Chico Perez.
She sounds fun. Let's get her over here.
You guys got any fun facts?
Adding on your fact, the number of bones in the human body actually changes over time because different bits fuse. So you die with fewer bones than you're born.
And speaking of bones, Romans used to swear on their testicles, hence how we testify.
Ah, very nice.
Just lowering
nice.
The tone over here.
So that's going to be at between 12 and 8 on Saturday in Gloucester Green, and it's going to be in a van, so you can look out for that and get some sweets.
So, round the corner from Gloucester Green, at the Avada Gallery, there's going to be a special exhibition to mark the Christmas Lights Festival. They've asked a couple of artists to respond to the theme, See Your City in a Different Light, and they'll have a number of video installations available to see. So there are two artists in particular that are featuring. There's Melanie Gurney, who's recently graduated from Ruskin, and she produces these sort of kaleidoscopic videos. So it starts off as sort of photographs of people and ends up as sort of geometric shapes. And also Camille Robineau, who is currently studying at Falmouth and makes a lot of videos using ice. Admission's free. It's open between 6 and 10 p.m. on Friday and 12 till 6 on the weekend.
And the Day of Song is another new addition for the Light Festival this year. It's being run by Kat Kelly. She does loads of things in Oxford, and one of the things she does is direct the Folk Oxford Weekend. And we spoke to her actually about this last year. So if you want to hear a bit more about Kat Kelly and the kind of things she does, you can listen to our Oxcast Extra interview with her on the podcast page. You can just search Kat Kelly. It was back in April, so it's not timely or topical, but she's got a lot of interesting things to say. And she does a lot of interesting things, including this Day of Song. So it's a celebration of music. It's happening on the Sunday of the Light Festival, and it's going to feature a trial of community choir performances in cultural venues, shops, colleges, churches. Everywhere you go, there'll be a choir singing at you. And then this culminates in the Oxford Town Hall, where there's going to be a mass choir, 300 to 400 people singing. And Kat Kelly's composed something on the same theme of seeing your city in a different light. So that's the sort of culmination of the Day of Song. It's going to be starting from 5 o'clock at the Oxford Town Hall. But then all day, wherever you go in Oxford, you can hear some lovely pop-up choirs.
And if you're down George Street on Friday, you should look out for some giant blue inflatable blobs that are going to be emitting low-frequency hum. So this is going to be in the garden behind the History Faculty, which is the kind of old-looking building opposite Odeon George Street. And there's going to be these huge blue inflatable things that you're supposed to go and put your hands and ears up against. Basically, give it a big hug. And they're going to be emitting these like low-frequency sounds, and you can like feel and hear the weird vibrations. That's going to be between 4:30 and 10:30 on Friday, and is kind of cool and weird.
Definitely the cool and weird one. I definitely want to go and hug it.
Yeah, me too.
So there's a climate change conference happening this weekend called the Oxford Climate Forum. It's taking place at the Mathematical Institute, and it's on Friday and Saturday. On Friday it's 5 till 8, and on Saturday 10 till 6. And then it costs £20 for the whole shebang, which is not too bad. So the event seems to be packing in a lot. So don't expect like 5 speakers and really long lectures. It's actually going to be about 45 minutes or shorter little pop lectures. And you will not be frying your brain by 2 p.m. There's breaks very regularly as well and lunch breaks. So it sounds like a kind of good day. You won't be exhausting yourself. Some of the speakers include the Greenpeace International Executive Director. There's also the Chief Executive of Good Energy Group, and obviously loads of Oxbridge fellows and academics. And with so many people and so many short lectures, they're covering a lot of topics as well. So they're going to be talking about all things from food security, transport, fossil fuel development, but also the finance and activism and how to communicate climate change. So kind of very different strands, so much happening. I doubt there's going to be anything groundbreaking or huge amounts of detail, but it's a really good occasion if you just want to swat up on kind of what's the latest happening in climate change and in discussions about it. So if you're interested in it and want to just get the new latest stuff, I think that's where it's going to be at. So it's the Oxford Climate Forum. It's this Friday evening and Saturday all day. Tickets are £20, and you can find out more on oxfordclimateforum.com.
Well, your thing's £20, but my one is free. This is the Oxford launch. It's going to be at the Side Business School all this weekend. It's basically a workshopping weekend for people interested in new business startups. And you don't have to be in a team or have your own idea necessarily. You just need to be interested in digital business and ready to learn if you want to be involved in this. So basically, it starts on Friday about 5:30. And if you want, you can pitch a business idea in 60 seconds, but you don't have to. And after the pitches, all those involved will be put into teams with varying expertise. So then over the weekend, you develop a product and strategy for your business with the help of loads of expert mentors that are going to be there as well from loads of different fields.
So if you wish you were on The Apprentice, but you're not on The Apprentice.
Yeah, kind
go
of.
Go along for a day of The Apprentice.
Yeah, exactly, because there's some really good prizes at the end of this as well. So yeah, you develop the product, and then at the end of the weekend, you present to a panel of judges, and the winners get a load of business development services worth over £3,500 or something. So like lawyer services and branding strategy advice, from lots of the Oxford launch partners, Oxford-based businesses with like loads of experience. So the tickets were originally going to be £75, which was going to cover the sort of space and all your meals while you're there and stuff as well. But they got some funding and it's now going to be free. So all you have to do is register on their website to be able to be involved. It's all going to be at the launch pad at the Said Business School, which is their cool kind of like, imagine what a Google office looks like, room inside Said Business School. And if you have an interest in web development or graphic design, marketing, business development, UX, or just finance, anything like that, go to oxfordlaunch.com for more details. Now, a bit of a sport update for Oxford. We haven't had one in a while. Oxford City Stars are going to be playing this weekend. Now, they were, as you, I'm sure you remember...
As you'll recall.
Yep. They won... They did the Cup League double last season and were promoted to the National Ice Hockey League One. And they've been having a bit of a tough time of it because obviously it's a big step up, but they've been turning it around a bit in the last few matches. They've won two of their last three, including a narrow 2-1 victory over MK Thunder at the weekend. But on Sunday, they're going to Milton Keynes. So they played Milton Keynes at home and they're going for a rematch in Milton Keynes on Sunday, trying to replicate their win. Tickets are going to be £6 for adults on the door. It's not that far. I think we should go along and support them. If you can't make that match, the Stars' next home game is going to be on Sunday the 30th against Streatham Redskins at the Oxford City Ice Rink. And in other sport news, London Welsh are playing Leicester Tigers on Sunday at 3:15 at the Kasam Stadium. They as well have been struggling a bit since getting promotion back to the English Premiership this season. They are yet to win a game. They've got a point, but yeah, maybe this will be their one. And Oxford United are playing Wimbledon at home on Saturday at Kasam Stadium as well.
And how are they doing?
They're doing all right. They're kind of low half of the table, but they're safe.
Okay, good.
Could be doing better.
That was Orla with the sports roundup, wearing her Mighty Ducks sweatshirt.
It's true, repping the ice hockey.
So at the Phoenix on Sunday, there is a film screening of student short films. This is being put on by the Oxford Broadcasting Association. It's from 4 till 6, and I think tickets are about £15. So Oxford Broadcasting Association, I believe, is a mixture of Oxford University student film and TV societies, and their aim is to support student filmmakers within the university, and they've got various opportunities and they hire kit and that kind of thing. And on Sunday they're presenting 9 short films by the brightest talents who are involved with the OBA. You can find some of the trailers of some of the short films on the OBA's event page on Facebook if you search for OBA short film screening. And a couple of them look quite arty and mysterious, look very professional. And there's one called Genius, which I believe is a mockumentary taking the mickey out of student theatre that takes itself really seriously, which looks very entertaining. And
meta.
When it started, I thought it was actually just a video of students talking about a show they were doing. And then I realised they were making fun of the way students will do little trailers and talk about the show they're doing. And so it's nicely subtle. It's subtle enough to work. So check that out, as well as the kind of nice, cool, more kind of arty shorts. And the Best Student Shorts event starts 4, finishes at 6 o'clock. It's at the Phoenix on Sunday. You can find out more on oxfordbroadcastingassociation.com.
Cool. So next Tuesday at the Old Fire Station, it's time for this month's instalment of Short Stories Aloud. This is a really brilliant and quite unique event where short stories are read aloud by actors with the authors in the room. So after a break, you're actually allowed to ask them questions, you know, how they came up with the stories, or, it's sort of quite interesting in that there are prizes for the best questions. So you do get some quite left-field ones.
What are the prizes?
Ah, well, normally it's a book that hasn't yet been published, or a free ticket to an event at Blackwell's.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. They normally have 2 or 3 prizes, actually, because the questions are sort of tied. This week, I met up with the event's founder, Sarah Franklin, to discuss the upcoming show. So, the next event is going to feature both Mark Watson and Adam Marrett.
Yes, that's right. I know, Emma, you're very excited about this.
I genuinely am.
As am I. Yeah, so people will know Mark Watson primarily, I'd imagine, as a comedian. He does lots of stand-up. He's been on shows like Mock the Week.
I feel I should actually add a plug. On BBC iPlayer at the moment, there are 2 of his shows available. Oh. There's Mark Watson Talks a Bit About Life, which is the most recent show. It only broadcasts sort of throughout October, November. And there's also Mark Watson's Address to the Nation. Both feature Tom Bazin and Tim Key, and both are available on iPlayer now.
Get you, amazing. Well, there you are. You can catch up with Mark Watson before you come. Mark Watson is also, however, a novelist of some standing, and he's written this fantastic novel called Hotel Alpha, which is basically it's a novel set in a hotel, and it follows some of the characters, the owner and so on, through a number of years in the hotel. But to go with this, and this is what's really interesting from a short stories perspective, he's written 100 short stories, which are all on an accompanying website. And the website itself is just huge fun because you'll go on there and it's got room numbers. It's like going behind closed doors and you can click one and read the short. Some of them are, you know, a couple of hundred words. Some of them are about 1,500 words. So there are stories for any kind of length or flavour. And then at the bottom, and I spent hours playing with this, there are hyperlinks essentially, which will take you to other stories about that person or about that room or a different time period. And so you can really do sort of get lost in a maze of rooms in the same way as you might in a hotel.
And I suppose the other author who's going to be there, the next one, is Adam Marek.
Yes, and I know I'm also exceptionally excited about Adam Marek. So Adam Marek is essentially a short story specialist. He's won lots of awards with his short stories, and he's also what I would call a sort of, he's a short story writer's short story writer, if that makes sense. And when I asked him to send me a selection that he'd be happy to have read aloud, he sent me some. He said, this one's the funniest one I've ever written, this one's the saddest one I've ever written, and this one's my favourite. I was like, oh god, the pressure. And so I was really torn. I think I asked the audience, actually, you know, do we want funny or sad? And of course, you know, got a 50-50 response, which was no use whatsoever.
So I'm curious, what does Adam Marek think the funniest story he's ever written?
Well, you're going to have to wait, because we're going to hear it read next Tuesday.
And if you'd like to hear the full interview, it'll be up on the Oxcast Extra page. So if you think you might like to hear Sarah talk about the history of short stories aloud, the strangest questions she's ever seen an author answer, and why there are so many sad short stories, visit dailyinfo.co.uk/podcasts. And if you'd like to attend next week's show, tickets are still available at £5, £2.50 concessions, or absolutely free if you bring cake.
You can find many, many more events and also reviews of all the latest theatre on Daily Info as well.
Also on Daily Info, you can find a job, somewhere to work, or somewhere to live, maybe.
And if you're on Twitter, you can find us at Daily Info Oxford, or you can like our Facebook page at Daily Info Oxford.